From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Hundreds of women of color gathered at the She the People Summit on September 20th, 2018 in San Francisco for an event organized by Democracy in Color. The summit was intended to pull together women of color who are in office, running for office, or supporting those women in office. I attended the summit and was able to speak with a number of women. We'll begin with Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal of the state of Washington, who's been a progressive trailblazer in the House, pushing for policies like Medicare for All and confronting President Trump on immigration, the Supreme Court, and more. Special thanks to KPFA Pacifica Radio for sponsoring this coverage. Welcome to the program, Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal. It's an honor to have you on.
It's an honor to be on.
So this gathering of women has women like yourself who are in office, women who are considering and who are running for office, and all the women behind them pushing them. What words of advice will you give or can you give to those women who are likely to be in Congress after this November? Because it is a snake pit out there, and you're one of the few women, one of the few members of Congress who hasn't held back, who's been very bold, but it takes a lot of guts to be bold.
Well, I think for the people that are coming in, I've been telling them to just be who they are and to hang on to that and to pick their battles wisely. You know, you don't have to slay giants every single day, but you do have to think strategically about how we get across what we want. And at the same time, never allow anybody to minimize or patronize you, and to do it with as much love and generosity as possible. And I think that's the thing that I've noticed is I don't hold back from standing up for myself or standing up for the issues that I care about, but I try to do it in a way that would make my grandmother feel proud, you know, that allows me to lift up the beauty of who we are as women of color and as immigrants. We believe in generosity and abundance, not in scarcity and fear. So I want to show a different way, and I want young women of color and other women of color who are running to think about bringing themselves in and to think about what they want to do, not what they want to be, because I think that's important too.
Do you feel that your work in Congress and just even your presence has inspired a younger generation of Indian American women or South Asian women or just women of color to say, I can be myself and be a member of Congress? I don't have to swallow who I am.
Yes, that's been one of the great things about being in office is I get all these, particularly they see women across the country, you know, tons of email and people coming up and saying that I've given them a different possibility for their futures. And that makes me so happy because it's great to be the first, but honestly, that's not what I want. I don't want to be the last. I want to have other women see their futures differently because I'm here. And so that has been really wonderful. And it's not just South Asian women either. It's immigrants, because I'm one of only 12 immigrants in the United States Congress out of 535. And so to think that we are capable and that it is possible for anybody to achieve whatever their goals are. And so that's been really wonderful. And one of my favorite stories was when I was running for the state Senate, actually, I had these two young South Asian women who I think were about 13 or 14 at the time, and they would volunteer for my campaign, and they would literally take the bus an hour to come and volunteer every day. And the first couple of weeks, they were very quiet, and they would sort of stand in the corner, very shy. And then about the third or fourth week, one of them sidled up to me and said, "Do you think I could run for office someday?" And I just thought, okay, my work is done here, but it was really wonderful. And she came back, she worked as an intern in my DC office. She's now gone off to college. She's doing a fantastic job. She's majoring in political science. And I do think she'll run for office one day.
So the House has, I want to get into politics now because it's so critical, such a critical moment we're in. The House has the power to pursue impeachment proceedings. And I'm wondering if you, as a progressive in the House, after the midterm elections, will be in that leadership pushing for impeachment.
Well, I'm on the Judiciary Committee, and I've spoken out on this before. I'm actually one of the members of Congress who has signed on to a set of articles of impeachment. I have voted twice on the floor that we should be having this debate around impeachment. And I tell people in the district who would really like to see Donald Trump impeached that the thing to understand about impeachment is it's a political process. You have to get the majority of people in the House to vote for these articles of impeachment. And we may still have work to do, but I think that to get the American people on board and therefore to get representatives on board in both parties, frankly. And so what I hope to do in the Judiciary Committee is immediately be with our ranking member, Jerry Nadler, who will be the chairman if we take back the House, to really push for accountability, to have a series of hearings that show the American people exactly how Donald Trump has been violating the Emoluments Clause, exactly what those conflicts of interest are, what has been the interaction of the Trump campaign and Russia, why are we not focusing on election security, what does he have to hide? I think these are the questions that will be on the table, and it'll be up to us to really push those hearings, see what we get out of it, and hope that in the end, if there is real substance in those accusations, that the American people will be with us and will push members of Congress. So, I'm fortunate in my district that people understand exactly where I am, but we really do have to build the movement and the understanding and do the investigation to show people what this president has been doing and how he's been in violation.
How do you respond to those who say, sure, the impeachment of Trump may be a good thing and is possible, but do we want Mike Pence because he would be even worse?
Well, what I say is, first of all, we're not close to impeachment yet. I mean, we really have to lay out the case. But assuming that Trump was impeached, yes, I think that that's appropriate, because I don't think impeachment is about, are we going to get somebody, is the person that we're going to put in place better or worse? I think it's about, has this person violated the Constitution? If he's violated the Constitution, then he needs to go. And I really do think that what Trump has done that's so detrimental is not just the violating of policies, but the shattering of norms and of civility, of human decency. And I do think that Pence may be in the same place as far as policies, but I don't think he's quite in the same place as far as some of these norms that have been shattered. And I do think that Pence, for example, would tend to listen to his military generals if they tell him that it doesn't make sense to go to war, start World War III. I'm not really trying to compare, because what I hope is that in 2020 we win back the White House with somebody who really has the credentials and the qualifications and the moral center to be president, because we don't have that right now.
So you're in the Senate, in the House, not the Senate, and the Senate Judiciary Committee, of course, is tasked with perhaps their most important task of the past 2 years with the Kavanaugh hearings. What do you think your colleagues among Senate Democrats are going to do, both in the committee and if he goes to a full Senate vote? Do you think there will be enough unity among Democrats to stand firm, so that if Kavanaugh wins, he wins just literally by one vote?
I really think, and I've been on the forefront of this issue ever since the allegations against Kavanaugh from Dr. Blasey Ford came out, I really think that Republicans are in a no-win situation. And I think that women across this country of both political parties know that sexual assault is real. And I do not see how any Democrat could vote for Kavanaugh with this on the table. I really don't know how you could do that, because this is a serious allegation from a very credible source with very credible background around it. It's not something she just came up with. She talked to her therapist in 2012. And so I don't think that this is not something that Judge Kavanaugh is entitled to. This is the highest court of the land. And we have got to make sure that we are doing the investigation that we need to do before sending him to the Supreme Court. Now, I happen to be one of those people who think there was enough there to vote no to start with. But if there were any Democrats who were on the fence about this, they should be absolutely 150% convinced that without an FBI investigation, without Mark Judge testifying, without a full deep dive into this allegation, they should not vote for Judge Kavanaugh. And I really hope that that is what they do, because I don't think this is partisan anymore. This is about sexual assault.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, who currently serves as a representative from Washington's 7th Congressional District, which includes most of Seattle. She was speaking alongside a number of other women of color leaders at the She the People Summit in San Francisco, which took place September 20th. Special thanks to KPFA Pacifica Radio for sponsoring this coverage. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.